If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, host in this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the jurisprudential laws of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start off this episode, Sheikh Javid, with this question. Is it permissible to do sajda or to perform sajda on carpet because of taqiyya?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when it comes to taqiyya, of course, we can do anything which is necessary to protect ourselves, to protect our honor, our, you know, property,
reputation. Yes.
Our reputation. And taqiyya is exercised and it has been prescribed by our imams. And it makes everything permissible. When it comes to performing sajda on carpet, of course, it's permissible in the case of taqiyya, when you are exercising quietism or when you are trying to dissimulate in order to pretend yourself or to show yourself as someone who is not Shia, like you are someone belonging to another faith. Yes, this is what taqiyya means, because taqiyya means that you do not show your... You do not practice your own religion. You try to show yourself
save
as...
Save your life.
Yeah, show yourself
protect
as a follower
yourself.
Of another religion.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are exercising taqiyya, of course, you can do it. You can do sajda on a carpet.
Mm.
The
prayer is rendered as fine. Right?
The prayer is valid. Of course, the prayer is valid. But you know, we have to know where we need to do taqiyya. For example, if there is a Sunni mosque nearby and you can offer your prayers at home and you go to the mosque, Sunni mosque, to offer your prayer there, you will not be tolerated by those people, maybe. You will not be. And you will have to fold your hands and maybe offer your prayers on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to such places where you are supposed to exercise taqiyya. But okay, people are there. For example, there are some Shia Muslims living in Saudi Arabia. They are working. They have migrated
yes.
to Saudi Arabia. They are workers, laborers. So these people will have to exercise taqiyya, because if they do not exercise taqiyya, then they will be fired. They'll be sent back to the country. They'll be in trouble, of course.
Yes.
So they can continue doing taqiyya. But in places where there's no one to see mm-hmm. them, they, for example, when they are in their rooms, of course they should offer their prayers in their own way. And when you are doing taqiyya, it's not necessary to repeat the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I see.
That prayer is sufficient.
Sheikh Javid, what is the opinion of Grand Ayatollah Khamenei about the third testimony or the Shahadat Salisa in Tashahud? Is it permissible to recite it?
Well, this is one of the highly contested, highly disputed and contentious, or you can say controversial issues that you can find in Pakistan and India and the Indian subcontinent, and also people who belong to the Indian subcontinent.
Mm-hmm.
And this has never been an issue among Shia Muslims in other parts of the world.
I see.
You see. And Shia Muslims in the Indian subcontinent continue to debate whether it is permissible to recite the third testimony, Shahadat Salisa Ashhadanna Ali Waliullah, in Tashahud or not. In Tashahud.
Yes.
Many people and many even, unfortunately, prayer leaders have gone to recite this third testimony in the prayer. And they have found their own followers, their own, you know, proponents. Unfortunately, this has led to some kind of disunity among the Shia Muslims in these areas and in these countries, Pakistan and in India.
Yes.
I just want to say, make a point here, that we Shia Muslims should not be more Catholic than the Pope. You know,
yes.
The Shia religious, we should learn, we should go through the book of the religious authorities, the Islamic laws written by the religious authorities, including Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani. They have expressly stated that we should not add to the prayer what is not a part of the prayer, because
yes.
it will be a kind of bid'ah.
Bid'ah, innovation.
Adding to the prayer what is not a part of the prayer. None of the religious authorities have said that you can recite this third testimony in the prayer. Even though, okay, we believe in the validity of this motto. It's a, yes, more like a motto chanted by Shia Muslims, but it's not a part of the prayer. And we do believe that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was the and is the successor, the righteous successor of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He was the immediate successor of the Holy Prophet. But we cannot add to the prayer what is right, what is valid, you know, because we, for example, believe that the Quran is the book of Allah.
Yes.
The Prophet is the last of all prophets, and then Imam Ali was his success. Now, every right thing, every correct thing cannot be added to the prayer.
Yes,
the prayer has its formula, has its own shape, and it must be. Mm-hmm. The Prophet said, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." You should pray in the same way as you see me pray.
Okay? Exactly.
So we should not add to the prayer what is not a part of the prayer. We should avoid reciting the third testimony in tashahhud.
I see.
And also in any other parts of the prayer, we should not add any zikr which is not a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker, in the studio with us, talking about the rules of prayer. Well, Sheikh Javed, let me ask you this question in this part of the program. What are the four verses which contain obligatory sajda?
The four verses, of course, in the Quran, upon whose recitation sajda becomes obligatory,
mm-hmm,
are the following verses which I want to name, obviously. And these are, for example, Surah As-Sajda, which is Surah 32, and the verse number is verse 15 of chapter 32. So this is one verse. And then we have Surah Ha-Mim As-Sajda, which is Surah 41, and the verse number is verse 38. So verse 38 of chapter 41 is one of the verses which contains obligatory sajda. Then we have Surah An-Najm, which is chapter 53, and the verse is verse 62. So verse 62 of chapter 53 is the verse which contains obligatory sajda. And then we have Surah Al-Alaq, which is Surah 96, and the verse is verse number 19. So verse number 19 of chapter 96 is the fourth verse of the Quran, which if recited, it becomes obligatory for the person who hears it or who recites it to go for sajda, to do sajda, mm-hmm, wajib, because, yes, sajda is obligatory. In whatever position you are, you must do sajda immediately. And of course, you know the rules of these, especially when it comes to ladies who are in the state of menstruation.
Yes.
They are not allowed, according to Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, to recite these four sajdas, not these four surahs. Because there's a difference of opinion among the religious authorities. Some religious scholars say that we should not recite the entire surah, even one letter of the surah, we should, mm-hmm, not recite it. But Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, they have expressly stated that we should not recite only those verses, those four verses, which contain obligatory, mm-hmm, sajda.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Well, thank you, dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care, so please keep us in your du'as too. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Alimun.
إله